Chapter 16. You can look on your phones, your tablets, or open up your copy of the scriptures there. You can go from there to Acts chapter 17. So Acts 17 this morning. I want to help you a little bit. We've been suggesting, and I had no idea 4 or 5 weeks ago when we started this, when I said if I just had a word for America, and I spoke about freedom. What does it really mean to be free? What's the Bible definition of freedom? And I talked about that word pray. I really think we just don't pray. We talk about praying, we think about praying, we don't pray. Then I said repent. Man, if I go from corner to corner and state to state and every truck stop and intersection, every place give me a stool, I think I would say, man, we need to repent. We need to figure out what God says sin is and then figure out what we're doing that aligns with that. And then we need to ask God to forgive us and ask Him to change our ways. We need to repent. And today, it may take you a minute or two, but I've got my last word as I finish up this series here. And I think you'll pick up that word as we go through it. If you're willing and able, stand with us. We'll read just a few verses together. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 22. And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." Paul's come to town and he begins to talk to people and reason with them, and they accuse him. They say, "You are a," there's a big long word, but he said, you're a seed picker. And it wasn't a nice phrase. They said, "You're guilty of taking a little bit from Greek mythology and a little bit from our local mythology and a little bit from this story over here, and you've cobbled together something and you call it new." He says, "It's not. I'm not. I'm presenting to you truth." And he says, "Well, if you're going to be that way, you need to go over here." And these people, they just love to rattle on about all this stuff. And so he goes here and he begins to present to them. And he says, "Hey, you know what? You guys don't really know what you know." Verse 23. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" You say that he's unknown. I'm going to suggest to you that you can know him. I want to suggest to you that just because you don't know him doesn't mean he can't be known. He not only can be known, he wants a relationship with you. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needs anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things." God has made himself known. God has left his signature on this world, and he's left his signature in you. Every time you breathe, the autonomous function of the respiratory system, the circulatory system, the very fact that you have consciousness and cognizance, God has wrote himself over all of creation and has put his stamp on you. Verse 26. "It's made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." You think you're free and you think you're all that and you think you can do, and I'm here to tell you, God's got you in the box that he wants you in, and God set up everything. He knows the day you're born. He knows the day you're going to die. God is absolutely in control. Great big word, sovereign. He is the one in charge and you are not. Verse 27. "They should seek the Lord." What's the purpose of life? That you should seek the Lord. Why did God create all of us and leave us here? That we should seek the Lord. What beats inside of every man's breast? What pulsates in every man's mind when he pillows his head or wakes up in the morning, when he sees a beautiful sunrise or a gorgeous sunset, when he's there gripping the iron bars on the railing in a hospital, or he is there with tears in his eyes, contemplating on someone who's about to go to the mortuary? His purpose in life is to seek the Lord. God has put the wonderful mathematician said, God has put a God-sized place in all of our hearts that cries out and can only be filled by God. Verse 28. "For in him we live and move and have our being. Certain also of your own poets has said, 'For we are his offspring.' For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think God is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art, man's device. There's no room for idolatry. These times of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. God says, I've given you the Word, I've given you the Scriptures, I've given you the Holy Spirit, I've given you what you need. You need to repent. You cut in verse 31. Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Christ, that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance to all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. If I had a word for America, that word would be God. That word would be God. Would you pray with me right now? Father, from front to back and left to right, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help me as I preach. I'd preach clearly. I'd make good use of my time. I pray, Father, that I would enunciate well, and more than that, we would listen. As we mentioned already in Sunday school, again, I do pray God's Word would have free course and that it would be glorified in us, how we respond to it. So I pray that we would respond well. Thank you for loving us, being so kind to us. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. I pray you be honored in these services, be honored in the baptism to come, be honored in the children's service. I pray you get all the honor and the glory right now. I ask this in your Son's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. It's a wild and crazy thing. I was reading recently, I was reading a book been recommended to me by Dr. Pinson, actually, in a book I hadn't read, The Reason Why. It's by an older author, and he writes in the 60s and 70s. Just an amazing thing. And as he was writing, he was giving a critique about television. And he was talking about men and women sharing the same bedroom. And I chuckled as I read that, because it was almost scandalous. If you remember, even married people, some of you a little older, some of you that watch Nick at Night or something, you'll catch a married couple, and they're in two separate beds. And they had to do that because of the standards. The FCC wouldn't allow them to be seen in the same bed. And he talked about some of that being scandalous. He wasn't being prudish. He was just talking about, how conventions were changing and those kind of things like that. And I chuckled. If he wrote that book in 2017, he'd have had a little longer chapter. Nod your head if you're with me here. Not married people sharing two separate beds in the same room. But holy moly, gracious sakes. I'd be at a loss to try and just describe the landscape that's on television, internet, Netflix now. He wrote and he said the thing that was missing was asking the question, why? Why should you care about deportment? Why should you care about how you portray things? He said, if it's just decency, that'll end. He was prophetic, because all that went out the window. He said, the standard is that there is a God who cares about the affairs of men. He spends most of the book talking about that idea and looking at things culturally here. I've been amazed. I've been a little more than amazed. I've been a little Twitter-pated, just to be honest with you here. I'll use a good old word there. I've been just to read the headlines or to catch the news. If I wasn't real sure, I think the thing we worshipped in America is politics. Nod your head if you're with me here. Anybody think that's all that's going? I'd love to see what the Google count is on how many times President Obama's name was used in the last 8 years, or President Trump's name's been used here. And depending on where you fall, I reckon he's either the greatest thing since sliced cheese, or he's beating up puppies in the sub-basement. Man, it's just... it's unbelievable to watch the news. Nod your head if you're with me here. And anybody like me, you're just tired of the news and you just cross your fingers and hope. No, don't do that. Stay involved, stay praying. But man, it's just discouraging, demoralizing. I looked at some other things. I read again some statistics. Everything seems to leave out the most important thing. And that is God. What's worse, a story, a program, a book that blasphemes God, stay with me here, or a story, a book, a novel, a television program that never acknowledges that there is a God? One's blasphemy, the other's atheism, practical atheism. Who's worse, guy? Guy who shakes his fist at God, says, I hate him, or guy who goes to work day in, day out, and never acknowledges, never bows their head, never says thank you, never even contemplates that God gave her life and breath and all that is, or that God created them, or that God gave them opportunity. I suggest to you, we live in a world, it came from Europe, but it's here in the States now, where we do not even acknowledge the fact that there is an almighty God of the universe. Let me help you here. And when we do pay lip service to God, stay right with me, young ladies. When we do pay lip service to God, it's the politician's God or the benevolent God. It is not the God of the Bible. So let me help you today. If I had a word for America, if I had a message for America, it would be God. And I would need to have a parenthesis there because I'm going to talk about the God of the Bible. And I'll go one further than that. The God of the Christian scriptures here. Not just any Bible, not just the Bhagavad Gita, not just the Surah, the Surahs from the Quran. I'm talking about the God who said in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. And I think unless you start there, you will always go astray. And I want to suggest to you what we need. We don't need more schools. Excuse me. We could use a little more roads around here. I don't know we need more teachers. We need more. There's lots of things we probably do need. But we really need to understand that God is the foundation for life, and it is the hope for death, and that God cares about you and about me, and that any system, whether it's banking, whether it's work, whether it's finance, whether it's agriculture, whatever you do, when you leave that out, when you leave it out of your home, I mean, everything's going to go wrong. You cannot go right. So my word, my message then, would be God. I want to offer you a couple of things here. What does it mean? What does it really mean to say that God, and integrate that in our hearts and lives? How many of you like to do that? You want to integrate? How many of you, day in and day out, you think, man, I need to do this. We need to do this. I want to help other people to do this. Walk with me for just a minute here. Let me give you a couple of these, and then I'll be done. We'll have our baptism service. Number one, remember, God is a creator. God is a creator. Look at verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. So the Bible doesn't say that God created the world. He doesn't say it in the New Testament. Well, you're in Acts and you're in the New Testament. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. John the Revelator is going to talk about Revelation. Over and over and over, God says, I made all that is. God is a creator. Look at verse 24. He dwells not in temples made with hands, is worshiped with men's hands. The creator is not created. There's a reason. We eschew statues and things. We don't want to make any idols because he's a God who cannot be contained. He's a God who cannot be imagined. We worship the one who is bigger than our minds and our imaginations, who is the one who has created all things. He is the creator God. Say, how can I do this? How can I put this together? Verse 24, he says he made the heaven and the earth. He made all that is. He is everywhere present. Look again at verse 24. He's saying he is the Lord that dwells not in temples made with hands, is worshiped with any man's hands, and he doesn't need anything. God is everywhere present. You want to fix a lot of things going on? If God was sitting there by your computer, you think twice before you click. If God was sitting there before you took petty cash that didn't belong to you, you think twice before you grab something. You think twice before you utter those obscenities. You think twice. We all do differently when we feel like someone is watching us. I got one better for you there. He's not only watching me, he's with me. God wants to encourage me. God wants to help me. God is there. God is for me. He is the creator God. He is a creator. He's self-sufficient. Say it with me. God doesn't need me. Say it one more time. God doesn't need me. One more time. God doesn't need me. Let me help you. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He's absolutely self-sufficient. Anything I get to do with him and for him, not because he needs me. He doesn't need me. I hear guys get up sometimes and they preach and they talk like God's just up in heaven biting his fingernails hoping somebody will listen. God doesn't have any needs, never has any needs, will never have any needs. He is all sufficient. He is the creator God. He is sufficient. He's the one who gives life and breath and all things. And somebody, it's been a while ago now. I started to say last year, but it's really been longer than that. It's before I came here. He got real smart with me. If I say you're real smart with me, does everybody understand? Snarky, mouthy. I need to communicate to everyone here. There's some younger ones in here. Punky. He said, I don't pray over my food. He said, and I haven't died yet. Now, how many of you think that if you die, that's a tough standard, isn't it? Because if you're wrong once, what happens? I mean, you die, right? If that's a standard, I haven't died yet. I suppose. But anyway, he said you pray, and he said, there's no difference here. There's no difference here. And I said, you really think I'm praying, Lord, take the poison that's in this food that my wife has prepared and spare me from it. Some of you in here that are married looking at each other kind of funny right now. Don't do that. Lord, you really think that's what I'm praying? I'm bowing my head and closing my eyes and saying, Lord, thank you. Because he's the giver of life and breath and all things. See, we call that gratitude. Gratitude. We're the only people in the world get a new phone and another one comes out in 2 months and we go, boy, I wish I had that phone. I don't know how to use the one I've got, but the other one's newer. I wish I had a new phone. Worked with college students all those years and they'd have insurance on their phones. I say, I'm going to go out and run over my phone so I can get a new one. You're going to do what? I'm going to go back over my phone so I can get a new one. My mom and dad have got insurance. I said, but isn't it still $75? Yeah, but it's a $700 phone. I said, will they get you a new phone if I call them and tell them that you ran over it? I said, would you do that? I said, I called him an idiot. I said, you're crazy. Why are you doing that? Well, I just want a new one. Well, that's not gratitude too much, is it? We live in an ungrateful world. We live in a world that thinks everything's about me. And the Bible says plainly that God is the creator. Look at the second idea there. Not only is God the creator, God guides history. God guides history. Look at verse 26. He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth and determine the time before appointed and the habits and the bounds of their habitation. Every now and then, somebody will say, you Christians are racist. Whatever was true 70, 80 years ago, I don't know, wasn't alive. But to put that on God's a really, really bad thing. Racism came from Darwin, who believed in evolution. Actually came from his predecessor, but anyway, we call it the Darwin. Darwin said there's good races and bad races. Hitler killed the Jews because he said they were an inferior race. That's evil. When I say you're different or better, excuse me, when I say you're better because you got blue eyes and blonde hair versus you're worse if you look different than me, that's not from God. You don't pin that on God. Say, how many races are there? Look right here, there's a human race. It's a human race. And the faster we get there, the better off we're going to be. Don't pin that on Christ followers. Don't pin that on Christ followers. Hatred, bloodshed, world wars, all kind of things have been done because people don't understand that one verse there that God said he's made of one blood, all men. To hate someone because of how they look at me. That ain't Bible. That isn't Bible. Folks out there with all the hashtags, this life matters and that life matters. And I read that and I go from being mad to being sad. Now the Bible's so clear. God made us. Let me help you with something. When you think that person who does well is more important than the God, and the guy who spent the night in the gutter because he's just about OD, you forget all of a sudden how much God loves that guy and that guy. God doesn't love me more based on my behavior. God loves me because of who God is. Amen. God guides a history. He's established things. We say it different. We say God is in control. God is in control. And let me help you here. because God has made everyone, and because there is one race, human race, God's also got the prerogative to say who's who and who's what. I jokingly said to Honor, we were a few days away, and I looked at her and I said, the battle for modesty is over. There is no battle anymore. No battle. There's a lot of men who need to be horsewhipped for letting their daughters out of their house wearing nothing. Can I get an amen from anybody in here? But the battle's over. The battle's gone. But the culture battle, that I am whoever I feel like I am, that's here. And I can do what I want to do based upon how I feel. And you say, I don't think it's going on. You need to talk to somebody under 30. Say it's bullying. Being a bully is being a bully. Being biblical is being biblical. And if God created us, God has the right to say who we are and what we are. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry that's controversial. I am. I'm as sorry as I know how to be. But if we don't help people here, we're going to be picking up pieces of people's lives. I don't say this because I'm mad. I don't say this because it's not working off several of you in here. I say this because it's true. Amen. And we got to help people here. Paul said he is a creator. He's a giver of life. He has a great purpose. I'm almost done. He's a great purpose. That men would seek him, that men would know him. God, we read the verses, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. God communicated himself to us. If you're writing down any notes here, God gave us his Bible, and God gave us his Son. How can I know what God is like? God has revealed himself to me. I don't climb a mountain and pray to some rock. I don't sit out in the desert for 3 days till I hallucinate. I don't take LSD until I start to see the air move. I can know who God is and what God expects and what God wants and what God is like and what God will always be like because he has communicated to me. I know him. I can know him. Some of you are here today, and if you die like you are, you'll go to a Christless hell. But you will do so over a Bible that told you who you are and who God is. Amen. You'll do so over a Son of God who came and died on the cross for all the awful things you would do. Amen. We're baptizing some young people today. We're baptizing them because they figured out who God was, and God loved them, and God wanted them, and God died for their sins. And God wants to change their life, and now they're stepping out in obedience to him. How did they know to do any of that stuff? Because the Bible told them so. Amen. The Bible told them so. The Bible says we are to seek and to know him. Look at number 4 there. God demands repentance. God demands repentance. Look at verse 29 in your Bible there. For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art, man's device. The time of ignorance God winked at, but now commands every man everywhere to repent. It's an expression. Basically, he gave them space. God has authority to kill us as soon as we sin. Drop dead. God give you space. You've lived long enough to be in a service like this and you're not right with God. God has used that old English, winked at it. He's given you space to repent. He's given you opportunity. He's given you life. Every now and then somebody says, why didn't God just kill all the wicked? I'm sure glad he didn't start with me. I'm glad God gave me enough space for me to repent. He gave me enough grace and enough mercy. But God demands, turn from your sins and turn to him. Why? If I was going to talk to America, I'd remind them there's a day coming. God's going to judge. He calls it a righteous judgment. He says that he is the judge. See, God's going to do this. God's going to do this. How do I know God's going to judge? Verse 31, because Jesus arose from the dead. He is greater than death. He is greater. He is greater than the afflictions of this world. He will be here. He will judge, and he will judge fairly and righteously. And by the way, it'll be over at that point. Amen. It'll be over. See, what would you tell America? I'd tell them God. God of the Bible. I tell them he created everything. I say, nobody believes it. I don't think that's true, number one. But if nobody believes it, the Bible's specific. God created everything. All that is. God put a great big purpose in this world. Seeking to know him. God has given every man the command to repent. Wait for it. And God will judge. God will judge. We don't have the time. Mark in your Bibles there. Make a note. There's four results there. Some mocked him. Some said, I'll do it later. Verse 32. Some of them went and believed. Verse 34. I think that's true most messages. If I'm going to water down who God is and what the Bible says, for everyone to agree with it, I'll be waiting a long time. There's always negative and positive response. Can I give you three things? The message may not stick with those four points. Let me give you three that will. Can you write these down as application? God knows me. Say it back to me. God knows me. One more time. God knows me. God knows me. God loves me. God loves me. Let me back up. God knows you. God knows what you've done, what you're going to do. He knows how sorry you are. He knows the best days you've had. He knows all your flimsy excuses. He knows you. But he loves you. Most of us do this, don't we? You get a little better, you do a little better, you straighten up and fly right, and you'll have more privileges, and you'll have more access, and you'll have more of this, and you'll have more of that. Anybody ever thought that way? God gave me everything that I've ever needed. When I was awful and wretched and wicked and on my way to hell. Amen. That's love. He's loved me when I do what I'm supposed to and when I don't. He's loved me when I've honored him, when I've dishonored him. God knows me. God loves me. Wait for it. And God wants me. And God wants me. You raise your hand if you want to. You feel like you've just messed up so bad. God's got to be done with you. You don't understand how family's put up with you, jobs put up with you. It's just, you've just blown it and blown it and blown it and blown it. Anybody ever been there? A few of you? How many of you are just too ashamed to even raise your hand? You just that bad. Is there any hurt any worse than a human being saying another human being, I don't want anything to do with you? Is there anything worse than heartbreak? Emotionally, it can't be many things. If you don't catch anything else I said, listen, I'm done. Look, okay. The heart broken God. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, perfect place, Adam and Eve, gave them everything they need. Don't do this one thing. They did it. Invited death and destruction. God provided over and over prophets and judges and preachers and all this. He sent his Son. They took his Son and they crucified him. Listen to me. The heartbroken God, who we have said with one voice, we do not want you, says, I want you. I want you. I want you. So what would you tell America if you had 30 minutes on the TV? I think I'd tell them about God. He knows me. He loves me. And he wants me. my word for America, I think one of them's got to be God, the God of the Bible. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed.